experts say that Romania has become a global centre for buying and selling slaves. Its geographical position means that it is both a source, a transit, and a destination country for this highly profitable trade in vulnerable human beings. Laura Sheehan of Caritas Internationalis has just returned from a fact-finding trip to Romania, and she spoke to Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges about her impressions.
It's really hard to get specific numbers because this is criminal activity. It's underground, basically. But the problem is very widespread. And yes, I was in one town where the priest was telling me that in a cafe that he started to help at-risk women, traffickers actually even come into the cafe. So this is a big, big problem in Romania.
And this priest that you met in this town, how does he seek to stop people from falling into the hands of the traffickers? Because obviously you need awareness here of the dangers posed, not to believe these smooth-talking strangers, presumably.
Yes, exactly. These smooth-talking strangers will come up to a teenage girl or perhaps a child who's living in the street or whose parents are both working abroad and who isn't being taken care of. And the stranger will get to know them, you know, maybe give them presents, act like a very nice person and actually help them in small ways. Once they've sort of lured them into the trap, then these human traffickers will often take them into other countries and, for example, sell the girls into prostitution or sell the children into beggary, where they have to beg on the streets and give all the money to the human trafficking network. So it's a terrible problem.
Anyhow, tell us some more about this priest, Father Petru. You said he was an amazing character and the work he did was absolutely incredible.
He's a wonderful man. He's helped a lot of women who are seriously at risk. What's happening in Romania is that some children are growing up in orphanages. Even if both of their parents are still alive, sometimes a family will give their child to a state-run orphanage if they simply can't take care of the child. And unfortunately, in these orphanages, as we know from the news in years past, there are a lot of problems, abuses, and the kids, when they leave, they usually have nowhere to go. They have no money. They have no families. So they're very much at risk in terms of trafficking. So what Father Petru does is he focuses often on such at-risk people who have nowhere to go. And he's created jobs, for example, a tailoring shop, a cafe. There's a farm where they make cheese. They have cows. So there are these jobs for these at-risk women. There's also a Catholic school where their children can go to school, and he provides job training. So it's really a wonderful sort of circle of services he provides to women who might otherwise have no options. Even if they were aware of the dangers, they might feel they had to take a chance because they just have no money and nothing else to do.
But as you mentioned earlier, it's not just trafficking for women who are being forced into prostitution. There's also children that have been trafficked, even babies that have been trafficked. You came across one case, I gather.
Yes, I was really astonished to hear this one case of basically a baby being trafficked. The mother had gotten pregnant at 16, was not married, and because of stigma, her baby was basically sold without her knowledge. The baby was taken from Romania to Spain. The boy grew up with what he called his false family in Spain. They made him beg, they made him steal, they beat him a lot. As he grew older, he would try to run away so often that they would actually chain him.
Chain him to what?
He didn't say, but it sounded like maybe to a bed or something like that. So it was a terrible story. So finally he escaped. Finally he got away and he actually found his birth mother.
How did he manage that?
He actually escaped while he was with his false family in Romania. And at night, while they were sleeping, he boarded a train and escaped to Bucharest, the capital of Romania. And from there he found his birth mother. The police started putting the case together. And thankfully his traffickers are now in jail.
And what about that child? I mean, is he still very traumatized by his terrible experiences of being basically a slave from a baby onwards?
From what I understand from his psychologist and caseworkers, he was very traumatized at the beginning when he was 11 and first came back. Now he's doing wonderfully well. He's caught up in school amazingly fast. He's very intelligent. He really cares about his mother and is getting to know his stepsister, and they have a good relationship. And he's doing so well in school that he even participated in a science Olympiad and did very well.
So a happy story there. But how many other cases are there of babies or very, very young children at any rate being seized for trafficking purposes? Is it common as far as we can gather?
I couldn't say about babies, but it does seem like a lot of child trafficking is happening in terms of beggary. A lot of tourist spots in France, in Spain, possibly in England, the children that you see begging are not begging for themselves or their own families. their money is confiscated by the traffickers.
And they're often coming from Romania, you're saying?
Yeah, a lot of them are from Romania or other poor countries.
Were there any other particularly shocking or brutal case of trafficking that you came across during your trip that you'd like to share with us?
Well, you know, there are basically three major kinds of human trafficking. There's the trafficking for beggary, as I discussed. There's the sex trafficking. And there's trafficking for forced labor, where you hire people, you tell them you're going to give them a certain salary, you take them to another country, usually to a fairly remote place where they don't know the language, they don't have a contract, they don't know how to reach the police. And you basically force them to work for free or almost for free. So I heard about one Romanian woman who was offered a job in Italy, seasonal work, picking grapes and olives. She didn't have a contract. She was told they'd make 50 euros a day. When she showed up, they didn't pay nearly as much as they had promised. Plus, they were urging some of the young, pretty girls, as she put it, in the group, to prostitute themselves. They said, wouldn't you like a better job than picking grapes? So this was an example of forced labor trafficking that also sort of turned into sex trafficking.
I mean, but was she forced into prostitution, or did she sort of decide that she didn't want to do that?
She was able to resist, and she said no. She was a little older, I think just a little more worldly wise, and she did resist, and she managed to get away.
You also mentioned that during your trip, you heard a lot about the so-called lover boy phenomenon, which is a guy who finds a vulnerable girl and becomes her boyfriend. But in actual fact, he's planning to groom her to be trafficked, you know, to work as a sex slave in forced prostitution. Can you tell us a bit more about this phenomenon?
Sure. The lover boy phenomenon is especially disturbing because this young man, usually handsome and kindly, will really get to know a girl. He won't just sort of meet her as a stranger in the street. He might know her family or be a friend of a cousin or something like that. He'll really get to know her. He'll meet her family. He'll give her gifts. He'll really seem interested in her welfare. I actually heard of one case where the man wasn't even romantically involved with the girl. He just pretended to be a very good friend, and he would buy her medicine when she was sick, for example. So they really pretend to care about these girls. And then they'll say, I've heard about a job abroad where you can go to Norway and be a nanny. Or I've heard about this restaurant in Spain where you and I can work together and save money and then get married. And then they take them across the border. Usually these girls are 18 or over. So it's not a case of child trafficking. So it's harder to stop them at the border, especially if the girl says, no, he's my boyfriend, I love him. They go across the border and then he sells her into a brothel or some sort of sex work.
And is this a growing trend as far as you can gather?
The lover boy trend has been around for a while. It seems to be sort of holding steady. Traffickers seem to know now that they can't just find vulnerable girls through internet ads or newspaper ads or, you know, just meet them once or twice. They seem to know that they have to build a relationship with these young women. So it's really disturbing the way that traffickers will just manipulate people and exploit their trust.
And prey on the vulnerable.
Exactly. They find the girl whose father is an alcoholic or who is having trouble in school or came from an orphanage and has nowhere to go or who is just very upset and having a hard time and needs someone to talk to who seems to care about her. So these traffickers are good psychologists and they're almost like shapeshifters. They keep changing their tactics. It's really despicable what they do.
And what kind of feedback do you get from the victims of trafficking about the work that Caritas is doing in the local country to try to both increase awareness of this problem and to help with the rehabilitation of the victims once they've been rescued?
The victims are so grateful for the help they're receiving from Caritas and from our partners. Caritas runs a group called CoatNet, which is Christian Organizations Against Trafficking. And it's a network of Christian church groups, basically, throughout Europe and in Asia and other places. So we're the people who maybe have a little more sympathy for them than their neighbors or even their family members. A lot of times the family doesn't understand and they say, how could you do this? Especially when it's been sex trafficking. There's a lot of stigma and a lot of rejection. So Caritas and our CoatNet partners are trying to show the women that it's not their fault. Something bad was done to them. They didn't do something bad. And we try and help them. We provide shelters. We provide counseling. We try to get them jobs. We try and help them reintegrate into society. So they've been very grateful for the help. And I remember one woman saying, you know, I feel safe with you because you're trying to get us good jobs and safe jobs. And those are the important things to a lot of people who have been victimized.
But what about the awareness issue? Because this is crucial also to stop them becoming victims in the first place. is Caritas helping on that front as well?
Yeah, Caritas and other CoatNet partners are doing a lot of awareness raising and prevention work. So in Romania, I visited a Catholic high school where we really get the high school students involved. They actually made a video that you can see on YouTube. They make t-shirts. They actually go out in the street and wear the costume where a person was sort of in a box, showing that human trafficking can put people in a box. So they go out on the street and actually talk to people about the issue. So we're really trying to target the people who would be most vulnerable, people who are young, who maybe don't know what they're going to do next, especially because the unemployment rate in Romania is so high. They might be very vulnerable to very strange job offers that sound plausible but are dangerous.
These people who are trafficked, they can end up in countries throughout Europe, right? Oh, do you know which are the most popular, shall we say, host destinations?
I couldn't quite say which are the most popular, but trafficking is happening everywhere. There was a terrible recent case in the UK called the Cinderella case, where a little girl was trafficked, and also a man around 50 was forced to beg and steal and just do terrible things. So it's happening in the United States, it's happening in the UK, it's happening in Europe, it's happening in Asia. All the places where you think it can't be happening, it probably is. One big problem is simply the demand. As long as there's demand for prostitutes or for cheap labor on a farm or cheap construction labor, trafficking is going to continue. So countries really have to think about the demand issue and who's trying to get this cheap labor or who's trying to get these kids or these young women. They really have to look at that and try and fight what's happening.